This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Ping.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Life Enhancement Medicine Hour, leading you down the road to optimal living with Dr. Kevin Wallace and Dr. Zahara Sundermeyer. The doctors will focus on the foundations of health and newfound therapies you may not even know existed. Come join us on the path to your optimal life. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Kevin and Dr. Zahara.
Hey guys, happy Thursday. So we're having some technical errors on Dr. Wallace's side, so I'm going to do my best to pull it all in. So it's Thursday, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we are calling and speaking to everyone from sunny northern San Diego. We're here for a really cool SOPMED conference, but in the midst, we also are taking this awesome time with you to talk a little bit about our thyroid care. So as always, I'm Dr. Sundermeyer.
And I am Dr. Kevin Wallace.
All right. And today we're going to talk about thyroid. Now, if you have any questions, of course, our clinic is Infusion Health, and you can find us at www.infusionhealth.org. Mm-hmm. And we do accept phone calls on this radio show. So if you ever want to reach out and ask us questions about our topic, our phone number is 844-390-8255. So we look forward to answering your questions. So let's go ahead and start it out, Dr. W. What's the big starting point for today with our thyroid? What the heck is that?
Well, I can say for maybe the last 2 days, our thyroids have been put to the test with driving 700 miles or so to get to San Diego. I had a very cool high dose ozone yesterday from the SOPMED. So I'm feeling much better today, so my thyroid might be a little bit better. But so when it comes to thyroid, as naturopathic doctors and functional medicine doctors, which I guess is the newest word, which, you know, I think naturopathic is better. It's like we see a lot of thyroid coming from people that obviously find us as well as from other practitioners. When I say from the conventional standpoint, that maybe are educated with thyroid, but maybe not looking at the specifics of the totality of the thyroid. And so they just do some simple testing and then they go ahead and say you're perfectly fine, or they put them on a certain T4. And obviously the thyroid gland is way more than just TSH and T4.
Yeah. That's actually the big chunk of the talk today is what is the thyroid gland, right? And so its functions, its purpose, and how do we make it better?
Yeah. So I think obviously everybody knows, hopefully everybody knows, the thyroid gland is somewhere in our neck here. And so, you know, obviously it's like Dr. Stone will probably go more into purpose of what it's utilized for. But, you know, when they come and see us, you know, it's more than just a simple exam, like 10 minutes and just focusing on the thyroid. You know, we look at everything, physical exams, we make sure that we palpate those types of things to feel the thyroid, different reflexes that might be slowed or sped up in regards to response time. So those are the things that we can do physically. You know, a good physical exam, I think, is a lost art in regards to some of the medicine that we do. Mm-hmm. And kind of gain some information actually from touching patients. So when you go see your practitioner or maybe conventional practitioner, other people, and they never put their hands on you, not to manhandle you and stuff like that, but actually see how it's going, feel your skin, look at your skin, see what's going on, and then hear some of your complaints, then I might choose a different practitioner. But what specifically does the thyroid do, or what kind of things? So
as Dr. Wallace said, it's kind of a big, I think it's a hot topic right now with the world and trying to understand where its function lies, right? So like Dr. Wallace said, it's located in the base of your neck in between both of your, I want to call it a clavicle, collarbone. right? Medical terminology, regular terminology, right in between those collarbones. So a lot of times people say, oh, I feel it up here. And I always say, well, that's probably a swollen, parotid gland or something else going on there. But down here in that lower part of the neck is where you're going to kind of feel that tightness, maybe a little all the time. So you can kind of learn that those are kind of sensations of thyroid, but also that hoarseness sensation. A lot of people will say, I feel like my voice has started changing. That's some interesting experiences. But the thyroid itself, I think, is important to know what it actually does and where it actually functions in our body. And I think that there is not a cell in the body, and you might disagree with me, Dr. Wallace, but there's not a cell in the body that doesn't require thyroid hormone to function. I mean, we need it for our brain, we need it for our heart, we need it for our lungs, and so without this, we're not getting proper what we call cell metabolism or the production of energy in every cell. So it's important to know that these thyroid hormones actually create energy and support the energy production in our bodies. Mm-hmm. And I apologize, not create energy, but to support the energy in our production in our body and every individual cell. And I think what the last seminar we were at, they were talking about something about 100 billion or more cells. So if you just think about that concept, this thyroid is a busy bee for being its size. And of course, the goal is it's non-palpable, like Dr. Wallace was saying. So if you put your fingers right here, you really shouldn't feel it. Right. And of course, a practitioner should be the one doing this. A lot of times people will feel their muscles just on the side and think that that is their thyroid.
Correct.
But some actions are also associated with blood sugar metabolism and carbohydrate metabolism, which I think is really important. So if your thyroid isn't working, you might actually have issues with blood sugar control. You might actually have cholesterol concerns, which I think is really important to be aware of. And I think it's also important to be aware that if you're experiencing even shortness of breath, now we're talking a lot about hypothyroid symptoms here, where it means a slow or low functioning thyroid. And we will talk more about hyper symptoms as well. But I think hypo tends to be the primary one we're seeing a lot more, because that tends to be more, I would say, lifestyle induced and environmentally induced. I think we kind of are slowly affecting ourselves, but also I think our environment is really affecting us. So with that being said, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about our thyroid pathways.
Yeah, so I guess we got a question from a listener. If my thyroid is swollen, is there something I can take to help it? Grace. You have to definitely find out why your possible thyroid is swollen. It's like it could be a myriad of things. So again, like Dr. Sundmar was saying, palpation, does it feel swollen? Did you have a recent sickness? Anything like that that's actually increasing some of your lymph node?
No. So, I also think, Grace, this is important that we can't generalize a swollen thyroid. I think this is where labs are really going to come into play. And I think that this is perfect for this part of the conversation on our show, because what we've found is when we're getting a lot of people with this exact complaint, Grace, is that they come in, they have a swollen thyroid, they're seeing their primary care doctor, their primary care doctor runs a TSH lab, and nothing is wrong, right? But you feel something is wrong. And that's where individuals like myself and Dr. Wallace kind of really come into play, and other, you know, integrative naturopathic physicians, because we're the ones that are running the full panel. So I think that this is really a cool topic point for us today too, is the proper labs. Are they actually being done for you? And in inverse, have you had a thyroid ultrasound done, Grace? I think that that's a big question as well, because that will tell us if really what size is more swollen. Is it the left or the right side? How much bigger is it? And are there any nodules, which are little kind of bumps that can be formed in the gland itself? And that can actually lead us into another possibility of an autoimmune thyroid disorder, which not a lot of people give much consideration to, but it actually can 100% affect the way the individual feels, their brain function, their weight, and their ability to even handle and deal with stress and or weight loss. So, it's really hard to say, should you take something? I would say I would consider your diet before I would consider taking a supplement until we actually had better information. But pay attention to gluten, pay attention to dairy, all those common allergens out there, and really start cleaning up your diet. Really paying attention to avoiding those simple carbohydrates like flour.
So so too, is like when a gland is not having the ingredients to actually make certain hormones, that it hypertrophies, which means it gets larger, because it sits there and goes, well, hey, I need these ingredients, so I'm going to start getting larger and larger and larger, because it's not getting the ingredients. And so with, you know, in this PowerPoint or whatever that we can actually post, it talks about some of the ingredients. So obviously iodine, vitamin A, zinc, selenium, you know, all those things are important for the thyroid. Proper dosing, obviously we can't sit there and say, I need you to take this, you know, those types of things, but it's just a good overall thyroid support that's has the basic ingredients in it, like I said, we'll go ahead and work well. And so when we give out supplements, those are the things. We have to work all pathways. And so just because someone eats well and they still have thyroid issues, it's like our food is so deficient. So is it specifically vitamin A? Is it specifically selenium? You know, in that regard. So a very good, well-rounded support can help the thyroid out. And obviously some certain foods, Brazil nuts are high in selenium. Okay, so those things obviously help in regards to the thyroid. Anything that you know has iodine, that's usually sea. So sea vegetable, bladder whack, kelp, you know, seaweed, which for some reason I just can't get over the taste of seaweed.
So even and it's one of my favorite things to snack on.
At Costco, they have, what is it, the nori?
Yeah, the organic nori. And so I just take it. It's a little salted and I down it pretty nicely, although I do like the taste of seaweed. So, I mean, I think those are some of the things that you can think about. And we'll post some information for you, Grace. And if you'd like to shoot us a message on if you'd like to shoot us a message through our website, infusionhealth.org, you can definitely do that.
Correct. But like Dr. Sundermeyer was saying, so a lot of times if you really want to find out how your thyroid is functioning, running the surrounding of tests as well. So when we treat people with thyroid and then we're really just, all right, we're monitoring the thyroid, but yet everything else is taken care of, then I think you can just run thyroid exams. But then it comes down to your cortisol levels. Cortisol influences thyroid. Ferritin levels will go ahead and be high or low.
And ferritin is an iron form, just so we're all aware.
The storage form of iron. So running the appropriate testing, which unfortunately if you go to here in California, there's a lovely insurance company with the letters K and P that don't do that. And so we see a lot of the patients from them. And then we have to go ahead and adjust their thyroid dosing appropriately, run their appropriate labs, menstruating females as compared to PCOS, as compared to postmenopausal, because estrogen, sex hormone binding globulin, if it's high, probably means thyroid binding globulin is high and you have a lot of bound form that's not actually able to break free in the free portion, which is the free T3, go to the receptor site. And so running the gamut of tests.
Yeah.
But not expensive. It does. So that's the thing. It's like there's no like real expensive test. This is basic level testing that you just know how have to know how to interpret it better and find the better practitioner that knows how to interpret it. Talk to you, find out what's going on, palpate your thyroid, ask if there's anything else in regards to swelling, what other parts of the body might be swelling or swollen or have edema, what other things are what's going on in your life. And so those are the things we can do. But a good thyroid support, and you can always private message us in regards to what supplement that we might suggest. We utilize a thing called FullScript, and so it allows us, if we have your name and email address, we can always send stuff to you through FullScript.
Now, it also looks like Leslie has a similar case. Hi, Leslie. I hope you're doing well today. But it looks like you're also experiencing something similar where you feel like your thyroid itself hurts when it swells. And I think that that makes perfect sense to everything we've been talking about. So ultimately, you know, swelling is sometimes, you know, like Dr. Wallace said, can be a nutrient deficiency, but it also can be associated with stress, trauma, illnesses, recent illnesses that are affecting the body. I also think something that we haven't touched on, and we're kind of getting a little ahead, but this is fun anyway, is what things can negatively affect the way your thyroid functions itself. So, you know, fluoride and fluoridated water can actually negatively affect the way iodine works within our thyroid. And I think it's important to know that iodine molecules make up a big chunk of your thyroid hormones themselves. So if we're getting too much fluoride, we're not getting proper amounts of thyroid hormones produced, right?
Correct.
the other things that can negatively affect are heavy metals like pesticides, mercury, cadmium, and lead. And then, of course, autoimmune diseases in general. The big one right now being celiac disease, but we can't forget things like lupus and Sjogren's disease. So I think for you, Leslie, I would say same conversation. I mean, if you don't have a practitioner that's willing to run an ultrasound, that's where that's where people find people like myself and Dr. Wallace, because they're at a loss and they're not seeking and getting that help. So they're like, I want a full thyroid panel. And I think that we need to discuss what a full thyroid panel would actually look like in both of your cases today, ladies, because I think this might be where we're losing the battle in our, good wellness, because, a lot of practitioners, the primary care world has deemed TSH, which stands for thyroid stimulating hormone, as the gold standard of care for thyroid. And I like to remind people that TSH, again, thyroid stimulating hormone, has nothing to do with your actual thyroid hormones. It is the conversation between the brain and your thyroid, where your brain says, hey, thyroid, we need to make some more hormone. Or it says, hey, thyroid, we have enough hormone made. You're good for right now. That's its function. That's what TSH says. Now, granted, if the body is working effectively, then ideally that conversation is working well. But say, for instance, again, nutritional deficiencies are impacting, we're not going to get enough T4 production in the thyroid. And I think that that's the next step that we need to discuss is T4 is one of the two actual thyroid hormones.
Yep. And so real quick. So obviously I'll probably cut her on off and stuff like that. So real quick back to the fluoride. So
go for it. I think it's good that we backtrack a little too.
So real quick back to the fluoride. So we know there's a myriad of things that can obviously affect the thyroid, but it's like, it's becoming so prevalent. We look at everything that has changed in our food sources and fluoride. So if we all remember chemistry from the level of the periodic table, that iodine is in the same noble gas section as these other ones. And one of them is bromide, chlorine, and fluorine, those types of things. And so all those things are found in, obviously, our toothpaste, our pool, and every flour that we pretty much use, Wonder Bread, and all these things are brominated flours. All these other things. And so it obviously attaches on to where iodine can attach on, and it just sticks there. And so iodine can't function. So there's all kinds of methods and means to actually get these things out of the system to go ahead and actually detach, get rid of all these other noble gases into our body. So actually it starts to function better. Because with Dr. Sundermeyer and myself, it's like, well, how come everybody has a thyroid issue? I don't get it. There's very few people, when I say don't have a thyroid issue, that are like, wow, you're great. And so we have to look at the whole totality of things in regards to cleaning the system on up, which obviously we'll probably get to in later shows about cleaning the system of gases and pesticides and heavy metals. But I'm sorry to interrupt, Dr. Sundermeyer. So
no way. I think that's a good backtrack.
So it starts at T4, which is a hormone, but it's actually called a prohormone. And I'll let Dr. Sundermeyer take it from there. And what does T4 lead? What does T4 lead to?
Well, I think that a lot of us are kind of, I think this is where just in the general public, this is where people are starting to seek more information. I had a patient come in about a month ago and she goes, these are the labs that I want done. And I was like, well, these are the labs we would do anyway, but I'm glad you brought these in because this means that you're actually starting to take a little bit more proactivity in your own health, right? But I think what is important to know is a lot of the times in the conventional medical world, they will run a TSH, which refluxes to T4, meaning if TSH is abnormal, and again, the normal range being about 0.5 to 4.5. That's about a general conversation with most labs. If that is an abnormal range, then they'll reflex it to T4, meaning the lab will automatically run T4, and then they'll determine, are you hyper or hypo, what's going on there. But say, for instance, that TSH is perfectly normal, they'll never check an actual thyroid hormone. And I think that that's what frustrates me the most, because I have had so many patients come into me and have a low T4 and a low T3 with a normal TSH, meaning the body's just not getting that good conversation going on there. Right. And so going back to T4, the thyroid gets the signal from the brain, right? The pituitary, and says, hey, hey, make thyroid hormone, and then the thyroid goes, cool, I'm making about 70 to 80% of T4, and then I'm making the remainder of T3. And I think what's important to know is, like Dr. Wallace was saying, is T4 is a pro-hormone, meaning it is not as active as the T3, and the body is actually where T4 converts into T3. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a really important consideration. Yeah. So
and that just doesn't happen.
No.
So that's the whole concept with them. When I say conventional medicine, they go, well, like Dr. Sundermeyer said, their normal could be 4.0. You know, mm-hmm. because it's just within the range to 4.5, but that's not optimal through studies. You know, studies right. show basically almost like closer to 1.
Well,
know, in that regards. And then they go, well, your T4 is normal, but your body, if it's stressed, doesn't have the nutrients mm-hmm. or, you know, other things are going on, viral components, your body just doesn't take T4 and say, well, poof, it goes to T3. It has to be converted into the liver. You know, because like Dr. Sundermeyer said, about 20% of our active T3 comes from the thyroid. That means the other 80% has to be converted. And that's usually liver, muscle, those types of things. So when we run the full gamut of labs and checking other lab numbers, and then all of a sudden, if that's out, you know, in that regards, well, there's something congested in the liver. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be diseased. It just means mm-hmm. that your liver is just not functioning well. So what processes do the liver have to take priority, and who cares about converting hormones? Because you can still live in fatigue and I feel like crap because your liver is doing other things that are more important. Okay. Right. In that regards. And then if you don't exercise ever, your muscles are not actually optimal to actually now convert. So our muscles are not just for us to move bone and move a joint or move for, you know, from point A to point B. Our muscles are a metabolizer of different hormones and conversions and all these other aspects. And so we have to be able to exercise. So if people come in, they're deconditioned and their thyroid is poor and the liver is a little bit congested, sometimes you just work with those things. You retest, the thyroid actually pops back on up, and then, you know, we technically maybe don't need thyroid. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think that with that, I mean, things that other components that affect thyroid metabolism, and you kind of briefly touched on that, Dr. Wallace, is that stress. I mean, mm-hmm. how many of us today experience some form of stress which can affect the conversion of T4 into T3? And they actually call it a low T3 syndrome. And I've seen a number of cases where their TSH looks perfect again, T4 looks great, but that T3 is in the extremely low range for every lab possible, you know? And so commonly, high cortisol values can impact the production and conversion from T4 into T3 because your body requires resources elsewhere, or is it that, again, those nutritional deficiencies are also causing that, you know, everything is being used up. And mm-hmm. so I think that that's also something to think about, is that T3 is the one of the bigger hitting hormones that we really want to know mm-hmm. what's going on here, yeah. right?
Yep. And that's the whole interpretation of labs and understanding right. the totality. It's like if your TSH is low and it's within normal range, but like you said, T4 is still low and T3 is really low, then it's like, all right, what's happening there? You know, in that regards, do you have like a euthyroid where everything looks great? You know, obviously, if people can have receptor fatigue, their cortisol has spiked so high for so long, mm. it starts to override and their TSH gets suppressed. There's poor conversion of T4 to T3. And so that's how, when I say an expert looks at the labs, looks at your representation, and then we can sit there and find out. And then, like I said, just treat accordingly. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think as we move forward, let's talk a little bit about another little hormone that I don't know if a lot of doctors are clinically using. I know a lot of integrative doctors and functional medicine doctors are, but it's a hormone called reverse T3. Mm-hmm. So reverse T3 is actually what is considered the metabolite of T3 or its excretion hormone. And basically, that can be higher in individuals where the body is like, we don't have the components to make T3 the active form. So instead, we just kind of go, okay, well, here's the elimination form, and out the window it goes. So the biggest nutrients needed in order to continue this natural movement from T4 into T3 tend to be selenium, zinc. But what a lot of people are actually starting to do more and more is intermittent fasting. And I believe we briefly talked on it last week, was intermittent, or on our last show, I should say, it was intermittent fasting and how fasting can actually allow the body to continue having good function. Mm-hmm. But also too much fasting can be a negative, right? So, you know, paying attention to that balance. So I have a lot of people that love to say, I'm going to fast and I'm going to start with doing an 18-hour fast. And sometimes that's not always the greatest, right?
Correct. And also, so we have to feed the system. So there's that fine line between, well, I need to fast and clean the system. And then if I fast too long, the body starts to slow down. Okay. Right. And you don't want to have excess free T3 because T3 or free T3, I should say.
Oops.
So if your body necessarily is fasting, it's somewhat decreasing some of its nutrient and caloric intake. The body will. Did I get frozen?
You kind of froze a little bit. Keep going, I think you're back.
Am I back? All right. Yeah. I just had. It was just a quick bathroom break. I'm that fast. It's like, all right. So we talked about reverse T3 and how that's important in regards to fasting, because we can get to the point where we can fast too long, or we actually don't get the nutrients in, and our body doesn't want to run fast. So free T3 will go ahead and speed the body on up. But the body goes, no, I don't want that right now. So I'm going to convert to reverse T3 because it can dock at the receptor site where free T3 is and stop that. So your body is not burning fast and it starts to conserve in that regards. And so that's why fasting and, like I said, intermittent fasting is good. But if sometimes if people are prolonged, mm-hmm. in that regards, it's like we don't. And so I know some of the diet crazes that unfortunately at the office that we came from are working with, it's like a lot of this HCG diet and calorie restriction and thyroid issues. So when we're on calorie restriction for a long period of time, our free T3 actually should go down.
Yeah.
Okay. So in reverse T3 should go up because our body's going, no, it's like we need to conserve. But then you can artificially give free T3 and that actually will go ahead and increase some metabolism, but your body can't do that because it doesn't have the fuel to do it. And especially with a lot of the vegans and not getting proper tyrosine, tyrosine obviously is important in the conversion.
And B12, right?
And B12 and carnitine, all those things. And so tyrosine is needed, I do believe, to have dock that iodine molecule. And that's where T3 and T4 and all that stuff are converted.
Right. So, well, and I like that statement actually, because I do think a lot of the times we are, we're in a really interesting place, I think, in society in general, where a lot of people are following a lot of different dietary changes. So whether it's a paleo concept of intermittent fasting, it's a whole 30, whether it's, you know, keto, again, all of these things might not always be the best for you, because again, before we were hunter-gatherers, we were foragers, we had what farms and crops were available within the area that we lived, we ate seasonally, and a lot of the times we didn't have specific dietary restrictions. Not everybody was vegan, and I would say, unfortunately, and you might not all appreciate this, but sometimes vegans are my most difficult patients to get back into a nutritionally balanced way. Mm-hmm. I have more vegans that eat more carbohydrates and not good, like not lots of vegetables, but a lot of carbs such as grains and pastas and flour containing foods, because they're so hungry, but they're not eating the big meals that they were intended to eat. So with B12, I mean, B12 has indicated that it's utilized in the conversion of T4 into T3. So if you're not supplementing B12 and you're not eating animal proteins, you're not going to get that proper balance and conversion from T4 into T3. So I think sometimes it's a little bit of like, well, what might my diet be deficient in? Even if I'm eating extremely clean vegetarian, vegan mm-hmm. diet, knowing what you're moving into when you choose to make these health decisions, I think is really important. And I think is a really smart way to move into a proper health. We do a lot of this for health or awareness or, you know, political views, but know what you're kind of moving into with a diet and what things are commonly lacking in a diet.
Correct.
Like B12 and carnitine and tyrosine.
Yeah. And so, you know, being vegan, it's like we have nothing against it.
No,
or vegetarian.
Not.
Yeah.
No.
In that regard. So obviously it's utilized because if people have different diseases, it's like, no, dude, you need to lay off the steak, you know, in that regards. But it's just understanding how to do it. So a lot of the fads that people go into, like keto, going into it, understanding long-term ramifications, checking different things, like we just learned about uric acid, like the ketones will actually go ahead and be absorbed, uric acid will be released, you know, those types of things, to understand that our body maybe is not meant to be as acidic as long, and we still need glucose to run some of our brain function, you know, in that regards. And so just understanding the whole nutritional component, and those are the things that obviously affect the thyroid. And so where we have a lot of people that are just not getting the nutrition in to have a proper thyroid function, and they see in a conventional medicine doctor, they test them, they put them on something, and then they're like that for 5 years, especially a T4 like Synthroid or levothyroxine. They test them again and they're still high, or their TSH is still high. They're having symptoms, more T4. I'm still eating like crap. The doctor never ever spends time to sit there and focus on, you know, processed food, foods that are not from the clean 15 or dirty dozen, pesticide driven food, heavy metal driven food,
right.
You know, staying away from those types of things, cleaning the system on up. So when people come in and see us, yeah, you can give support. And if someone needs thyroid hormones specifically, then they will do wonders. But a lot of times it takes work for the patient to clean themselves on up. And so that means the whole lifestyle modification, which, you know, we can work with and not work with, but obviously eating better, exercise will go ahead and go huge. And then if we need to add in a specific T4, T3 combo, I never really give T4 at all to a patient. It's like I actually give out more just T3 and then monitor their T3 in regards to different temperatures in that regards, just because that's what the body actually utilizes in that regards. And that we can go into maybe next talk, like the Wilson's temperature syndrome. And learning how to monitor temperature and just dosing T3 on out and utilizing T3 to sometimes even reset the thyroid function. So Dr. Sundermeyer has made some great points. So what other, it's like, so Dr. Sundermeyer, give us some examples of all some of your successes in regards to thyroid, or some of the things that we might have seen at our current place that when we first came in, my biggest thing was I could not believe how many people were on 4 to 6 grain of thyroid.
I think that's actually, that is definitely something I'm seeing. And there's definitely a split viewpoint on looking at just T3 and T4 and determining are those values in an optimal range and what is happening with the TSH value. So I think when you're looking at the totality of symptoms, when you're really visualizing a person's case and their thyroid, you cannot forget the adrenal gland. And today's definitely not an adrenal gland conversation. And we'll talk more about this when we go into the adrenal gland, but you know, where is their cortisol value in the morning, whether you're testing blood, or where's their salivary cortisol panel looking like through the day? Mm-hmm. And then obviously just good old classics, you know, conversation and history. Like, is this a mother of three? This is my favorite one so far. So I have a lot of patients who are moms and their whole life revolves around their little ones. And then I have a lot of moms that do stay at home teaching plus take care of themselves. Plus their kids are all involved in everything.
And I wonder who those are. It's like, and I know those people too.
You know them too. But the thing is that we're so stressed today. And I try and remind people, even exercise is a form of stress to the body, even though beneficial in proper doses. Right. But I think stress is something that is really starting to negatively impact the thyroid itself and affect, again, that natural conversion from T4 into T3. Mm-hmm. So when we're looking at our thyroid, what I was seeing a lot where we were working is that people would just have thyroid symptoms. They would feel not great. The T3 and T4 weren't optimal, and they would go up in another half a grain to a grain, and all of a sudden, oh, I feel great, I feel great, I feel great. And then later on, they'd be like, I don't feel as good anymore.
Correct.
And that's because the adrenal gland was not being considered in the slightest. That had to be the first conversation that should have taken place before an individual, now granted, is need present. I'm sure the need is present. And there are a lot of people that are diagnosed with hypothyroidism that are under a lot of stress, but you have to be able to balance the combination of everything. So let's talk, I think, just briefly about what does stress mean to me? And then Dr. Wallace will talk about what stress means to him, because I think it's important that everybody experiences stress differently. And I had a practitioner when I was a student, one of the rotation directors that I would work under would say, well, what does stress mean? Is it that they burnt their toast this morning and they got annoyed, or their husband yelled at them? Or was it that they were running late and almost got in a car accident today? Or is it that they drive, you know, from Tucson to Phoenix every single day to get to work and then back home, so they have this 4-hour commute every day, you know? So I think that knowing what stress is to me is important. And that's how I talk to people. Like, I don't like when Dr. Wallace tries to scare the dog. Like, he goes and he'll try and scare people, and it scares me. And I'm just like, that's not cool. That's my stress. He's my stress over there.
the horrible Dr. Wallace.
Trying to scare me all the time. All the time you try and scare me. But you know, like,
I put on the scream mask and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay.
No, not even a ski mask. You just try and pop out of corners. But blind spaces are not cool. No, but, you know, I think knowing what are your stressors is extremely important. Like, are you always running late? Like, I run 10 minutes late 90% of the time. Dr. Wallace, 30 minutes early, me late. That's just the way we work together.
And that is a stressor. So...
So there's your stress, right? Yes, but I mean, what would you say when talking about stress, Dr. Wallace, would you say, how do you explain it, or how do you experience it yourself, maybe?
Well, so a long time ago, there's a lovely book called The Stress of Life by Dr. Hans Salier. And so they did experiments. So again, so this is related to thyroid. You know, obviously, it's like we'll talk about adrenal specifically, but this is in regards to, right, the whole picture of thyroid. In that regards, because we just can't look at a thyroid lab, or you come in and say, hey, I have fatigue, or I have puffy fingers, or my face is like starting to get swollen, I'm constipated, my hair is falling out. And then we assume thyroid, which obviously is like, that's in the back of our head. But then we have to sit there and ask a bunch of other questions. Because again, the difference between, I think, functional medicine, naturopathic medicine, and conventional is that they only can spend about 10 to 15 minutes with you.
Right.
You know, in a sense, you know, it might change. You know, some doctors probably that are more independent, but I know people that are working for different HMOs or PPOs, or they're in a practice, they only allowed a certain amount of time to see you, and they can't ask all these other questions that can relate to the thyroid. So, you know, Dr. Salier basically went ahead and said that our body responds to stress no matter what it is, whether it means your neighbor has heavy metal and you hate heavy metal, whether you hate your job, that constant stress is always on you, and cortisol usually spikes. And we're finding out more and more that when cortisol spikes, it's only supposed to spike for about 5 to 6 minutes, I do believe, and then other hormones take on over. But the thing of it is, like, we're not in a society anymore where we run away, or we fight it, or we just lay down and die and then it's over.
Right.
You know, and so the 5 minutes turns into 50 minutes, into 5 days, into 5 years, that we have this constant stress. And then people are so run down and fatigued, they come in and they go, it's their thyroid. And then so a practitioner will just check the thyroid and they'll go, yes, it is your thyroid, and here's medication for you, without having to look at all the other physiological processes that high cortisol has dealt with. And now they probably have low cortisol because their body can't stay at that level for so long. Because their body goes, no, you're burning too fast. You know, cortisol is like a battery acid on the brain, those types of things. You know, it increases our amygdala in our brain, which makes us hypervigilant to possibly other influences and anxiety. So how many people do we know that have been underneath high stress, and they have now high anxiety issues when they never used to have high anxiety issues before?
Right. You
know, it's like my example always is, like I said, unfortunately, Dr. Sundermeyer, I don't scare her all every day.
All the time. Six days out of seven.
That's horrible. As soon as I find a corner, it's like, rah, and stuff like that. So, you know, the things that now it's like, oh, yeah, you know, that used to create anxiety and I deal with it. Now it's like they're thinking about it for 2 days and 3 days. They lose sleep over it. And now it's they don't understand why. And now they get put on medications. And those medications can deplete the body even more of some of our nutrients. And so it's a vicious cycle. And so that is how I usually represent to people. And then I also have a lovely handout called The Physiological Response to Stress. And so if that's something that you would like, I do believe will be put up on our website. So you can download it. And then you can see exactly what happens in regards to stage one, stage two, stage three of stress and how that affects the thyroid and how it affects our weight and how it affects muscle loss and how it affects all these other things and a poor running immune system. So the talk today was specifically about thyroid, but we can't do thyroid without incorporating other things, or otherwise a talk would just be about 20 minutes. And it's like, here's thyroid and this is the nutrition that you need. And this is how you need to do this. And please don't ever swim in chlorine pools and never brush your teeth with fluoride toothpaste and never, ever have brominated bread or flour. That stuff's horrible, you know, in that regard. So, you know, but we do want to make sure that you understand some of the signs and symptoms of thyroid. Like I think most everybody knows, if we're hypothyroid, just understand that everything slows down in our body.
Right.
So our cognition slows and our cholesterol, like I said, we have tons of people that come in and their cholesterol is high and their thyroid maybe is not functioning as well because free T3 or the T3 needs to open up and allow cholesterol to enter. And so do they have high cholesterol? Is it because there's something else going on, but yet they get put on a cholesterol med and then now you're on a cholesterol med and you know, you're really screwed up, you know, in that regard. So knowing the signs and symptoms, knowing what people come into with, in regards to thyroid and just listening to their case and story. Cause that's what I think Dr. Sundermeyer and I like to do. We like to hear your story. So it's not like the typical what's going on. It's like, hey, you just come in and tell your story into our office or obviously by telemedicine. And so just in the storytelling, we were able to pick up what's going on, different inflections in your voice that you don't like. This is really important because this is where your voice changed and your mannerisms changed. So those are the things that I think we do better in regards to that. And so, you know, and flipping the switch now into hyper, you know, because we talked about hypothyroid. I think in my medical career now, that's just been going on 5 years. I think I've only seen one case of hyper, like a true cause hyperthyroid, which the body was producing way too much.
Right.
So, you know, obviously in those cases, same concept. Now this is where the line becomes between conventional medicine and functional medicine, because we have a lot of people that have TSHs that were, they consider be suppressed by conventional medicine. So their TSH is 0.001, their or T4 less than, you know, those types of things. Their TSH or their T4 is normal in that regards. And now the doctor goes, you're hyper. And so we're going to take you off of your thyroid med, or we're going to decrease it so much because we're freaking out about that. But yet the patient doesn't have any signs of hyperthyroid. You know, so they're not having increased heart rate, sweating, anxiety, you know, those types of things. And so they're not looking at their free T3 that obviously would sit there and say, okay, you're definitely hyper. So they take them off and then they come back to us and they say, well, my doctor freaked out. So they took me off. I'm feeling like crud. We sit there and explain to them why again. It's like they have to check these things. And so we're always battling that whole concept. But
well, and I think that's a good point, is that we tend to see a lot less Graves disease than we do or hyperthyroid states, because I think hypo tends to be more the disease of the day due to lifestyle, due to diet, due to environment, due to lack of nutrients in our soil any longer. So we tend to have a lot more cases of hypothyroidism. So when we're dealing with Graves, I think I have a lot of people that can induce, or sorry, when we're dealing with hyperthyroid, where we have a lot of patients that induce it. I had a patient once that did it to herself by taking this over-the-counter medicine that had thyroid gland in it, and she caused herself severe anxiety for quite some time, and it took a really long time to balance her body out. Mm-hmm. And her body was saying, I need thyroid, but her body as a whole, all the cells within it, were so overwhelmed and overprocessed. And I think in turn, there's a lot of that impact on the adrenal gland, because when you're running everything overboard, you're also running the adrenal gland overboard, right? But I think it's important to be aware that if someone's TSH is less than 0.45 or 0.5, that doesn't necessarily mean they're in a hyper state. That just means that there's less conversation going on between the brain, the pituitary gland, and the thyroid itself. Now, there's a lot of scare tactics, I think, that the conventional world uses that say, oh, you're going to increase your risk of heart attack, or you can increase your risk of osteoporosis and osteopenia. But, you know, those are really easy tests that we can either monitor with, but I also don't think that there's actually a lot of studies that are indicating a proper thyroid dose, meaning proper T3 and proper T4 function in the body that isn't hyper, you know? So I like to talk to people a little bit about just looking at those actual hormones and not just the TSH, because that's not the whole picture. That's not the whole story. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, knowing the difference between bound thyroid and unbound thyroid. So that's something that also goes into when we're really trying to evaluate the whole individual's thyroid. We're looking at not only free T4, but also total T4. And we're looking at free T3, but also total T3. Because if we're not looking at what's fully bound and unbound, we're not really grasping what's fully present in the body. And remember, bound means that it's actively working, or it's connected to albumin, or it's being transported somewhere to do something. But when it's free, it's bioavailable. It means it's ready and waiting to get its job done. And I like to remind people that we have to take a look at this whole clinical picture before we can ever really determine what's going on, because this is where we also learn the little intricacies of nutritional deficiencies, environmental components. And then, of course, this is also where we maybe even consider an autoimmune disorder, right? Say, for instance, someone has a perfect thyroid, but they have fertility issues, we'll say, or they have hormone imbalances. No one thinks that an autoimmune disorder matters, I think, a lot of the times, especially in the thyroid world. I think I've heard a lot of people say, oh yeah, I have an autoimmune, I have Hashimoto's disease, which is an autoimmune thyroid disorder that can cause hypothyroidism. But they say, you know, there's nothing that they can do to support. And there's so many things that we can do to support with specialty lab tests. Mm-hmm. So before we move forward into this conversation of proper testing and specialty labs that look on the outside perspective, we have a question specifically about the hormone levothyroxine, which is a T4 hormone. Mm-hmm. That is given to individuals to support and supplement thyroid hormone. Again, this is a T4 only hormone, which I think is important. So hello caller, whomever you might be, I didn't get your name, but levothyroxine, and there are alternatives. So depending on whether or not an autoimmune disorder is present may determine whether we believe levothyroxine or another hormone called Cytomel, which is T3, mm-hmm. Would be more appropriate for you. There are also called desiccant thyroids or compounded thyroids that we can make for you, which tend to have a lot less substances added to it. And I think it's important to know that there are alternatives to just levothyroxine. Myself and Dr. Wallace use them on a very consistent basis. We utilize a product called NP thyroid, which is considered a thyroid desiccant. Armor thyroid has been used for years, and then Nature Throid is probably the primary one we like to use, but we've been having some difficulties getting those hormones. So a lot of our patients understand that one, but there are alternatives out there. I think we lost connection with you, so we didn't quite get your name, but levothyroxine is just one of the many options available for you you're dealing with a thyroid case. Yeah.
But again, so that's in a perfect system, perfectly well nourished, metabolism is great, prolactin's mm-hmm. not high, ferritin mm-hmm. is good, vitamin D is perfect, mm-hmm. B12 is good, Mm-hmm. All those things, I do believe you can probably take a T4. And
well,
you,
and I actually have had patients. But
the thing is, you can get away with it. Mm-hmm. Okay, because remember, T4 has to utilize resources to get converted to T3, and it just doesn't happen. So again, running the appropriate labs. So if you're just if you're taking T4 because your doctor said, well, here's TSH and here's T4, and I think you're a little bit low, so I'm going to give you T4, and you started out 12.5 micrograms, and then you had to go up, and then you had to go up, and then you had to go up. And now let's say you're on 122 micrograms of, or 125 micrograms of T4. Well, what was happening that the body was not able to make T3? And so that doctor or physician or whoever you're seeing has to run the full gamut or the full complement of the lab to sit there and see, well, great. Well, let's do T4, because a lot of times we get people that are, have insurance and they can't afford it, but let's add in T3.
Right. Okay. And I think that probably the best thing that is lacking, best thing that we could do that is lacking in conventional medicine is add that T3 in, especially for people that don't have the resources available. So your levothyroxine might be the perfect thing for you. And if you're an autoimmune person, this is the perfect thing for you. But again, where's that conversion from T4 into T3? And I know that we're repeating this statement a lot, but I want to remind people that this is extremely the most important thing, because T3 is what enters our cells. T3 is what goes into our brain and says, hey, brain, function, right? And this is how we hit that cloud lift.
Correct.
This is how we make that energy. This is how we have proper weight balance, you know? And so I don't think I can stress how important it is that this T3 conversation is actually evaluated.
Correct. And so if the doctor just is looking at your labs and not hearing your story, and he says, yeah, your labs look at grout, so you must be perfectly fine. And so that is, you need to run from that doctor, because it's like, you can look at labs, and if people are in the ranges, you're good. Oh, you're perfectly fine.
Right.
But we just came back from further training that really narrowed down that lab range to sit and say, this is where the studies are at that show longevity, optimization.
Right.
You know, it's like one of the better ones that I read or that he had that I was like, really, which I think we all inherently knew in this realm, is that cholesterol. You know, cholesterol says, oh, we're supposed to keep it low. It says if it's actually too low, you have actually earlier mortality rate as compared to someone that has a higher cholesterol.
Right.
And so those are the things that we have to look at. And physicians have to take it into themselves to sit there and use their professionalism and their schooling to sit there and say, hey, you're not fine, because you're still having weight gain, or you're still having dry skin, your hair loss. You know, we look at other things. Let's do something more than just T4.
Right. Like Well, and I think the other thing it goes to as well is just, again, paying attention to that totality of symptoms. I think we tend to say, hey, by the way, your T4 is fine, your T3 is fine, but gosh, you know, like, we need to look at these other components. We need to look at nutritional deficiencies. We need to look at a food allergy panel, because listen to all the things you're telling me is all associated with your digestive system too. And if your digestive tract is impaired and you're not absorbing your nutrients, maybe you're having the best diet and you're taking the best supplements, but you're not getting the absorption available. I think that that's also sometimes where we tend to say, hey, this is where these proper tests need to come into play. Let's heal your gut. Let's try and give you the nutrients necessary so that you have better absorption in your small intestine. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that. But let's also look at, you know, chemical sensitivities, and do you spray around your home so that you don't get bugs and or weeds, you know, and I don't think we consider a lot of the environmental components to be an effect on thyroid. So I think this is where we might have to slowly shift away, but this, I think, is going to be saved in part two for All About the Thyroid, is talking about the specialty tests that can influence and actually affect the thyroid. I mean, there's research out there. But then I think also considering what is an autoimmune disease for the thyroid, and, you know, what things can affect, which are all these specialty tests, really positively help individuals with autoimmune disease as well.
But also, it's like, if you wanted to go ahead and have experts look at your thyroid, that's where, you know, we come in. I'm pointing downstairs like that. So we can go ahead and actually see people telemedicine-wise. Consult. If you have labs, we can actually consult. We do case study, all those things, and look at what's going on with you. So infusionhealth.org is our lovely website. If you're in Tucson, you can obviously check us on out at Infusion Health. But if you're obviously throughout the United States, especially California and Arizona, you can actually check us on out. We can actually become your physicians in regards to optimizing your health. So I know, I think after us is Dr. Paul Anderson, which is the guru
of all things.
So now, I'm surprised he's able to do it because all the traveling he does. So.
Oh gosh. I know. He's amazing. We appreciate him greatly. But this was kind of a all over conversation, and I really appreciate the questions today. If you guys have other questions, you can definitely shoot us a message in the CTR network, but you can also, like we said, contact us via our website, infusionhealth.org, because, you know, we really do want to start supporting and helping more people. And that's why we obviously started this lovely show. Mm-hmm. I am Dr. Sundermeyer.
I am Dr. Wallace.
Oh, you know, one last thing that we're going to kind of go out on this one. More and more studies are showing that women with infertility issues is because their TSH is not less than 2. Just FYI. I've been meaning to say that all day, but Dr. Wallace keeps interrupting me.
I know, so. Keep up. I'm scaring her. So we're live in San Diego. We're going to be at the SOPMed. More ozone tonight. Yee!
I know. I can't wait to get my ozone therapy, support my thyroid function, and help with my body feeling better. I hope you guys are all having a spectacular day, and I hope that you got something today out of our thyroid conversation. We will be talking more about thyroid and autoimmune disorders at our next show, so definitely tune in then, and we look forward to getting a lot more questions. We really appreciated it, you guys. That was a lot of fun today. Thank you very much.
Bye, everyone.
You've been listening to the Life Enhancement Medicine Hour with Dr. Wallace and Dr. Sundermeyer, bringing the power of health to your listening ears. You can learn more by visiting infusionhealth.org. That's infusionhealth.org. Follow them on social media and join the movement to better health.
Wait, are you sure it's on?
Positive.
Wow, it's really quiet.
Yeah, that's Daikin, all right. And it does it all with less energy than your old system.
HVAC sure has come a long way. Inverter technology from Daikin uses 30% less energy than traditional non-inverter systems. So while your home is cooling, your energy bill gets even cooler. Daikin, air intelligence.
Contact ACS Air at 520-200-8207 for a free at-home estimate. License number 111230.
Veterans proudly serve our nation, fighting for the freedoms we all enjoy. But that valor comes with a price. Problem gambling affects veterans up to 4 times the national average. 4 times. But there is help. The Arizona Division of Problem Gambling offers resources and expert counseling to help veterans win their battles with problem gambling. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT STEP to 53342. Put yourself out of harm's way.